This edition of Culture with Robert Bound was first broadcast on the 14th of December 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week we're sending you a postcard from Miami. We were here at the beginning of December for the annual Art Basel Miami Beach Fair, but as is so often the case, we managed to beat our own postcard home. So, here it is. Dear listener, we're having a ball here in Miami, although the sunshine seems to have been replaced by torrential rain and dramatic storms. What rotten luck! But we haven't let that dampen our spirits for a minute. We've had fun at the fair, but also nipped out to roam the city and all its cultural offerings. It looks like Wynwood's about to be replaced by Little River as the place to open your new gallery. We've got the inside scoop from local developer Avra Jane.
The other thing that's also positive is that a lot of the artists and a lot of the gallerists are starting to buy their own spaces. And that's important because once they're vested financially, it creates real roots and more permanent roots so that these types of areas aren't displaced so easily.
Plus, we've been soaking up the music scene. There's plenty going on here this week. Everyone's in town, from Jamie XX to ASAP Rocky. But we wanted to get to know the local musicians, so spoke to the founder of the city's only independent record store. That's Lolo Reskin.
I think we're making good progress. We're not going to be New York ever, so I think not worrying about that and just doing our own thing is kind of where most of the people are at.
The food is great, of course. The drinks have been flowing, and the city is in fine party spirit. Wish you were here. We're going to begin today's show in Little River. This is an old warehouse district that straddles the railway tracks, and it's nestled between Little Haiti and the Little River from which it takes its name. At first glance, it's not immediately obvious that there's much going on here, but if you take a closer look, you'll find a buzz of new businesses, galleries and artists moving into the area and setting up shop, and this hasn't gone unnoticed. Art World to Wynwood, so long, reads the cover of local Miami magazine, the Biscayne Times. One of the people behind the area's regeneration is property developer Avra Jane. She began to take interest in the area after giving an old motel called the Vagabond a makeover in the neighbouring Maimo district. Since then, she and her partners have helped to bring in Miami's best artistic talent to the area, securing it as an art destination for the city. Producer Holly met Avra at the Vagabond to find out more.
Basel affects everybody, and I think it's been the locals probably have... They underestimated the impact, and I'm not even sure they really still appreciate the impact. But Basel certainly put Miami on the map internationally, and it got some of the local talent, some of the local artists to stay, which I think that's part of building community and creating this sense of place. So people felt like they had to go to New York or LA or somewhere else to be seen. That's changed. They stay here now. And to see national galleries actually make Miami their home, that... The whole, you know, mindset that, you know, Miami is this sort of hub for all of the Americas, both South American art, Caribbean art, and North American art has, you know, like I said, it's just, I don't think anybody could ever fully understand the impact. And it's created a lot of jobs, a lot of ancillary businesses, you know, whether it's production, concierge, and all that. And so, and I think the best thing about Basel is that every year we have that, quote, deadline we spoke about, so that, you know, every year the city knows it's on show. So everybody makes an effort to repaint their buildings, keep things clean, change, make different. The artists all have deadlines for shows. And every year new people are introduced to Miami. And that's also helped businesses want to be here and people want to live here. And I think that, you know, the trickle-down effect is just, you know, I think it's just getting started.
Where are the artists moving to? Where should we be looking for good new art galleries in Miami?
Well, we'd like to think it's up here. So the Vagabond's in the Upper East Side, between 51st and 77th on Biscayne Boulevard, is a historic district. This is, that's Miami mid-century modern. So the architecture itself is art and the neon signs and so forth. But further west of here is a warehouse district called Little River, also known as Little Haiti, Little River. The housing around it is Little Haiti, and they have their own cultural center. So we're sort of integrated And the area that we're very involved in is called Little River. And it's become sort of the alternative we have to Wynwood, because Wynwood has done extremely well, too fast. And so a lot of the gallerists and the original artists that were there were looking for an alternative home. So they went about 40 blocks north to this warehouse district. We have Spinello Gallery now, Bill Brady, Fountainhead Studios, which is about 40 local artists with galleries, Carlos Bentancur, Augustina Woodgate. So I think that the new arts district has sort of defined itself. The other thing that's also positive is that a lot of the artists and a lot of the gallerists are starting to buy their own spaces. And that's important, because once they're vested, as they should be, not just, you know, culturally, but also financially, it creates real roots and more permanent roots, so that these types of areas aren't displaced so easily.
The art's very important to what you're doing. You have an amazing display of art in your restaurant and throughout the hotel. Are you looking, when you choose your properties, for somewhere that you think will be in a good artistic hub?
Yeah, and I tend to pick places where the artists already are. So it can never be contrived. And I know there are cases where developers buy areas and then they bring the artists in and give them, you know, free or discounted rent to help, let's say, bring in a cool factor. But then eventually they get displaced. And that's really not our approach. Our approach is we want to be where the artists want to be, where they already are. And then we try to find a way to keep them there. Because, again, it goes back to the roots, the soul. And we think it's, you know, the right thing to do. But we also have found that it's the prudent thing to do. And that's what brings character and again, sense of place. So in Little River, for instance, the artists were already there. There's already 60 artists there. I remember when we bought the Fountainhead Studios building, we started to fix it up. We fixed up the bathrooms and the hallways. We fixed the leaks in the ceilings. And all the artists were really nervous because they thought we were going to be kicking them out. And then we were like, no. You know, we want you to stay. What else, you know, what can we do for you? And as we fixed up the building too, they started to take better care. And some of the artists have bought little houses in the neighborhood. So we've actually encouraged, you know, the artists that can to, we're very forthcoming about our plans so that maybe they can plan to be part of it. Some of the gallerists not only just invest in their buildings, they invest in the overall plan. We do a lot of work like streetscapes and lighting and security. So we do a lot of things that help make it better for artists. And we've assured them that we, you know, our intent is to keep them. And the way you're able to do that is if you buy enough of it, and you buy enough of it well.
As events like Art Basel, Miami Beach have become more prominent, and we see, you know, this week there's just a crazy amount of art fairs popping up all over the city. Is there an increasing amounts of support from the city itself for these events to take place?
Yeah, I think the city does all they can. I think they recognize the benefit, and certainly all the local businesses and the strong art collectors who have a lot of influence, the big philanthropists. So I think the city understands how important this is and goes out of their way. You know, sometimes there's infrastructure issues that, you know, you have so many people and so many small spaces or whatever, but I think the city recognizes it. I think all the small businesses do. You know, the trickle down from Basel helps everybody. And I think the city absolutely does. We have a great program here called Arts and Public Spaces. And as taxpayers, we all contribute to public arts and public places. And I think that's something that Miami implemented a long time ago. I don't know what the motivation was for it, but I think that's really paid off big for the city as a whole.
And finally, what's next for you? You've got another place opening up next year, I believe.
Yeah, so we bought the oldest hotel in Miami. It's called the Miami River Inn. It's down in East Little Havana next to Brickell and downtown, across the street from the Miami River and Jose Marti Park. It's nice because culturally we're in Little Havana now, a little different than Little Haiti in the Upper East Side. And it's buildings that were built in 1908. And there's not a lot left in Miami that's 1908. I mean, on a relative basis, the deco periods were the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. So 1908, original wood structures. and with a beautiful courtyard. It'll be another Oasis experience. And it's an important part of Miami history because Miami was really founded along the railroad tracks and the river, Miami River, because it was industrial. Most cities were created around industrial zones. So the Miami River was a part of Riverside, not too far from where the Indians had been settled. And so it's very exciting, a lot of anticipation around it, and another really important, unique story to why and how Miami's here.
That was property developer Avra Jane. So let's head out to meet one of Little River's brand new residents. During Art Basel, a ton of alternative art fairs pop up all over the city. Perhaps the smallest of these is Littlest Sister, hence the name. This year, the fair was showcasing 10 booths of work by unrepresented female Miami artists, alongside a symposium of talks by influential women in the arts. During a drive around the neighborhood, Holly swung by the Littlest Sister Fair, which was occupying a space next to Anthony Spinelli. Nello's brand new gallery space, complete with butterfly garden, which is well worth a visit.
Hi, my name is Sofia Bastidas. I am the director of Little Sister. I am also an emerging curator, and I am just finishing my residency at Cannonball, which is a residency located in downtown Miami. Little Sister is a group exhibition of 10 female artists that are unrepresented. It's made in the form of an art fair. Spinello Projects put this together as a way to bring the people that come for the fairs to come to the space and see some local artists. So what really is happening is that since we are marketing ourselves as a fair, people are coming because they think it's a fair when it's really a platform for local artists.
And we're here in Little River. We're kind of a little bit away from the main stuff going on in Miami Beach. Have you seen more people coming to this neighborhood this year?
Yeah, Little River is a neighborhood that is thriving, especially in the arts, because a lot of artists have their studios here. And when the artists are the first to move, and then comes the galleries. What is interesting is that, you know, artists come because of the cheap rent and because they have big spaces so they can work. Galleries the same way. My question would be, eventually, would the price of these would not be affordable for artists, or how would that come to be?
And I guess if you compare it to places like Wynwood, which has obviously had a thriving scene, it grew very quickly, and now maybe this is the new version of what, you know, when this is where all the emerging arts are going to be now. How do you think it's going to develop further?
I hope it doesn't develop like Wynwood, and I don't think it will develop like Wynwood. I think Little River has a different aesthetic, and Wynwood is very different of what is happening here. I do think that it's going to become a more conscious culturally neighborhood. I would like to see more engagement with the community. But I think what Abra and Matt are doing, it's really pulling together a very well-curated neighborhood that has its own unique niche and its own unique aesthetic, and I don't think it's going to become something like Wynwood.
And how do the artists and the galleries in this area interact?
Interesting question. I think it's actually just happening. You know, we just had the openings a month ago. So it's too early to see how that is going to be evolving.
But everyone's very supportive of each other, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here in Miami, our community is very supportive of each other. Our artists, we have a very strong local community.
And you're showing 10 female emerging artists, all from the local area here today. Tell us about a few of these artists, like people that we might not have heard of that we should know about.
We have artists like Cara de Spain, who is currently also showing at the Rubels, all-female exhibition No Man's Land. She works in various mediums such as sound, installation, video, painting, and sculpture. Here we have an installation. She has a video installation at the Rubels. I think she's a great artist to be on the look for. We also have Adrienne Rose Gionta, who is an artist that is experimenting on a virtual reality game called Second Life. I think it's very interesting. She just recently showed her work at the ICA.
That was Littlest Sister director and curator Sofia Bastidas in Little River. After the break, we're nipping over to Little Haiti for a roundup of other little things in Little Miami's little music scene. Stay tuned a little.
We should have breakfast together, and lunch, and coffee, and cake, and a forced beer, or even an Aperol Spritz at sunset. And we know just the perfect spot. Come and join us at our London cafe that's just around the corner from our Midori HQ and also close to the Monocle shop. While you have a great flat white made with all-press coffee, you'll no doubt bump into one of our team and get to hear all the latest from the Monocle world. You can also pick up the latest issue of the magazine. Oh, and we also have space for hosting private lunches and events too. Join us at 18 Chiltern Street in London and also at our outpost in the Hankyu Men's Department Store in Tokyo. We look forward to seeing you.
You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, and this week we're sending you a postcard from Miami. The city is known for its bustling art scene, but it's not particularly renowned for its music. We wanted to get to know what the local musicians are playing, though, how the city supports local talent too, and whether Miami might ever find its place on the musical map. Holly went to meet Lolo Reskin, founder of the city's only indie record store, Sweat Records.
Miami as a whole kind of has a mistaken identity problem in that a lot of people just think it's the strip of Miami Beach with all the Velvet Rope nightclubs, but across the bridge where we are right now is Miami proper, and there are loads of different neighborhoods that each have their own identity and things going on, and there's a variety of venues from all the way at the bottom of our area, like in Homestead, even near Key Largo, all the way up to Lake Worth, West Palm Beach, our sort of tri-county area, and there's tons of different things going on, and pretty much if you take a second and look, you can find whatever you're looking for, whether it's chamber music, salsa, noise performances, there's all kinds of stuff. And then we've got big venues like the Fillmore as well that does sort of more rock and pop and et cetera shows to a bigger audience.
And I guess, especially with the art world, Miami kind of acts as almost a sort of gateway for South America to come up to North America. Would you say that's same in music?
Well, yeah, we definitely are in an interesting spot because we're sort of geographically isolated from the rest of America, but we do get a lot more cool stuff from South and Central America, and there's kind of been a growing trend that we love of acts coming over from Europe and other places starting their tour in Miami, because then they can sort of go up through the states from there, and we do have a great audience down here, so we'd love to see more of that happening, but, you know, obviously in a place like Miami where we have huge pockets, if not small cities of people from other countries, you know, there's a ton of diversity, and you can catch, you know, Haitian drumming and Latin funk and all sorts of other things. Downtown Miami, Miami, Miami.
Tell me a little bit about the music venues that are here. Are there constantly more opening?
Yeah, Miami is a place in transition kind of always in a lot of ways. People move here, people move away, new things open, old things close. So, you know, it kind of isn't as, I guess, stable as other older places like, you know, Boston and, you know, LA and things like that. So there is a sort of margin of error as far as when you are looking for something to do, you have to make sure the thing you want to do is still there, and or you know, you can always be discovering new things. So, you know, like I said, there's the Fillmore on the beach, and we're literally next door to Churchill's Pub right now, which has been there since 1979. It's kind of our CBGB, as we like to say. And there's a ton of other smaller, interesting pop-up theater, different kinds of venues. I mean, you know, people get really creative with shows. Oh, we have the North Beach Bandshell, which is a really cool kind of vintage Art Deco venue that was recently refurbished. There's a lot of places. And, you know, like I mentioned before, Miami isn't one of those cities that's just going to roll up and present everything to you. You're going to have to do a little bit of research, but it will pay off because you'll definitely be able to find something interesting to do.
Do you think there's a Miami style when it comes to music?
No. It's weird. I don't want to say no because we have tons of style, but of all kinds. You know, part of the fun of living here is how diverse, how interesting, how random things can be. Random is definitely a big word here. And so you kind of never know what's going to happen. Things get announced last minute. It's kind of full of surprises. And I think a lot of people, though, would be surprised to find that Miami has a huge scene for indie, punk, underground, hardcore, noise especially, and all these different kinds of alternative genres that people don't ever usually associate with Miami, but we do have an incredibly strong scene for them.
And maybe you could recommend a few local acts that people might not have heard of.
You know, there's some that maybe they have heard of, like Million Young is a great sort of indie electronic artist. There's a group called Afro Beta who are always tons of fun. They're sort of multi-discipline. They're like very visual as well, but they do funk and pop and electronic stuff all kind of mixed together. Do you dream about me? And then there's just a ton of other bands that we wish played more and were around more. There's one called Axe in the Oak. That's one of my absolute favorites. And they're kind of like Bauhaus meets Johnny Cash. And you'd never expect them to come from Miami. And people hear them and they're like, there's no way they're from Miami. But they are, and they're awesome. And there's a bunch of great punk bands and stuff. Wastelands are great. Our assistant manager's in that band. And yeah, there's so much stuff. You know, maybe Otto von Schirach has a great following in Europe. He does kind of like Miami-style glitch bass. You know, Miami's where Two Live Crew and everything came from. So there's a lot of bass influence still that shows up in the music here. Las sucias en las calles son bien rica, rica. Yo le digo mami, tremenda sabica. Brinca, tócate, brinca, tremenda sucia. Brinca, tócate, sabica, tremenda sucia.
What's the support like for musicians and people who work in the music industry here from, say, from the city itself?
From the city itself, really not a ton, but there's a lot of arts organizations and foundations down here that do a ton of amazing work. For instance, Knight Foundation, who have twice in the past supported Sweat Records in doing cool projects, ranging from a street music festival to releasing vinyl by local artists. I mean, there's just so many more incredible organizations. Rhythm Foundation programs has been programming world music down here for 25 years. They've brought down everyone from Air to Sun Ra, so really amazing content with them. Miami Light Project does a really cool multimedia, multidiscipline showcases of different things. They've brought down Reggie Watts. They've brought down Punk Cabaret. So there's tons of variety, and really the nonprofit scene here is really strong. We have a thing every year called Give Miami Day, where all the nonprofits register and encourage their whole audiences that day to give. And this year we raised $7 million for 600 nonprofits. And to me, that's incredible anywhere, especially in Miami.
And so do you think that one day Miami might be more on the music map within North America? I guess you always think of sort of New York, LA, Austin, those sort of cities. Do you think Miami will still stay quite local, or do you think that people look towards it for music a bit more?
There's a kind of a lot of layers there, because really the biggest thing working against us is our geography. We're way down at the bottom of the state, so either we have to fly act in or they have to be touring in a way that makes sense for them to come all the way down here. So that's going to be something that we're always fighting for, or fighting against rather, but we are getting 100 times more shows than we used to. I remember in high school waiting 6 months to see Placebo opening for some crap American alternative band, and that was the only show I wanted to see that year. Now it's like, okay, there's 3 things I want to do tonight. What do I do? So, you know, the scene here is better. People still travel for shows. That's just kind of a part of life here. You know, if you want, there's some certain things we're just not going to get. So, Lush are coming. I'm going to New York, you know? they're not going to come into Miami. That's fine. But Jesus and Mary Chain just played here, so that was cool. We got two Kraftwerk shows because the first one sold out so fast. So it's interesting, you know, there's definitely some genres that are more popular here than others. Depeche Mode never skips Miami on a tour. Like there's, and that also, you know, they're huge in South America, so that plays into that too. It would be cool if some more of our local acts were able to get some more national recognition. That always helps. And, you know, some of them are making some good headway. I think we're making good progress. We're not going to be New York ever. So I think not worrying about that and just doing our own thing is kind of where most of the people are at.
That was Lolo Reskin, founder of Sweat Records in Miami's Little Haiti. Now, Miami's been a blast, but where might we want to go for our next artistic holiday destination? While we were at Art Basel, there was a lot of talk about Central America. Oscar Humphreys, director of sales at Stephen Friedman Gallery, talked to us about why we should keep Cuba on our radar in 2016.
4 years ago, when you and I spoke about Miami, somehow the novelty of Latin American collectors coming to the fair was a part of that. But really, we're in Latin America; we're kind of coming to them,
yeah.
And you know, this is the art of a continent and a continent of collectors, and Miami really is part of their world. We're visiting them, so I am surprised by people's surprise around, you know, all these collectors from Brazil and other art centers in Latin America. You know, this is their world.
There's a lot of kind of the language of reaching out to the thing, and I guess a lot of that Latin American, a lot of the problems with buying from São Paulo, perhaps, for itself, are tax things, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're kind of wrangle that you don't necessarily want to get involved in.
It's difficult, I think, for people to import and export art there, and so Miami is a great opportunity for people to transact, you know, with Latin American art. I think Cuba's really exciting, and that is something new because, you know, collectors are making visits to Cuba. David Zwerner put on this great show in London looking at kind of concrete art from Cuba. The Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney just took a patrons group to Cuba. So there is this sense that as Cuba's changing, there's an opportunity for people to visit and to find artists and work by dead artists there and kind of bring them to light. So I'm sensing that as a trend this year here.
Yeah, and maybe next year it'll be the one that blows up and there'll be a lot of kind of, you know...
I mean, there's amazing material there.
A lot of midnight boat trips to Cuba.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of importing material from Latin America to Miami is nothing new.
Thanks, Oscar. Oscar Humphreys there, Director of Sales at Stephen Friedman Gallery. Bring us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to Culture on Monocle 24. My producer was Holly Pina Colada Fisher. Join me again at the same time next week when we'll be rounding up next year's art calendar highlights with Ossian Ward and Jane Morris. But for the time being, so long, Miami. Thanks for having us, and you still look sexy all wet. I've been Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.